Ah, you. It's nice of you to join us here on the very best bits of the week that was podcast. This here is your bonus material. We've all gone football crazy.
Yeah, we have, haven't we? Yeah.
Ooh, the enthusiasm bubbling over.
Gone football potty.
The annual fiesta of soccer, or the once every 4 years.
Once every four, or three and a half years in this case, because the last one was in the winter.
But yeah, that's
we're,
right.
We're all potty for it. Including Matt Dyson, I believe that you have gone one step into sticker land, step that has seen your son have piles of stickers in his room, yes. But he's missing one crucial ingredient.
Yes.
That one extra step you need to go.
Exactly. Well, it's quite a crucial part of the process. So it's his first ever Panini sticker collection.
Oh,
it's not the official one, it's the M&S one.
Oh.
Which is it's just England and the Lionesses and various other pictures. One of them is just a shiny that says M&S Simply Food, which is the worst.
So tragic.
It's obviously the worst.
This isn't
one.
Just a sticker book.
Yeah.
Imagine growing up with a Simply Food shiny sticker on your bunk bed.
I know, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's tragic, isn't it, really?
Yeah. But I'd rude hull it on my bed.
It's a nice introduction to the world of Panini.
But what's he missing?
And then you get his Nana, Christine, gave him loads of packets. So every time you spend 20 quid in M&S, you get a packet. So he's got loads. He's got a massive pile of stickers. But he's got nowhere to put them. Because all the stores near me have ran out of the official sticker book.
He's got no sticker book. He's got a stack of stickers, but no sticker book.
My local one in Hastings, I've been up to the road in Bexhill. They keep saying, no, we haven't got any. There might be some next week. So I keep going back. Every time I end up spending a fortune on their expensive food. Yeah. So I don't know if it's a scam to get more people to go in the shop, but it's working if it is.
Let's not call it a scam. Let's call it a marketing campaign, shall we?
Sorry, a marketing ploy, yes. But it's working if it is. But basically, there's a drought of sticker books on the South Coast, so I don't know how I'm going to get one.
Well, I'm now going to try and get one for Ted. That's my, like... But I pointed out to Matt, all I'm going to do is go to the M&S that's literally 100 yards from the studio here.
They might not have them. Yeah. Don't get your hopes up, because this might be a countrywide thing. I don't know.
I'm going to check every M&S for
this.
So I want to get Ted to think... Because he must be able to complete the book, mustn't he?
I think he's got enough. He's got Elliot Anderson, which he keeps in his pocket. A Forest player still at this stage.
Yeah.
Elliot Anderson.
Not for long, though.
He keeps... Yeah, but we'll see. We don't need to sell him, so it's fine. He keeps Elliot Anderson in his pocket when he plays football and it improves his game.
It's a lovely thing. So like running fast in a certain pair of socks, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that.
Improve it more than having the M&S Simply Food sticker
in
his pocket.
Yeah. I'm not sure that will do.
That would make the sandwiches better, hopefully.
So I'm going to be on the lookout for the sticker book for
Great,
Ted. I have to get it done for you. So we've all gone football potty. You'll hear some more about it on the show, which I really hope you enjoy.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to the Breakfast Show, where Matt Dyson has the social ammunition. Matt, what is going on out there?
Well, Dave, let's start the week with a today years old fact, shall we? This is a big one. It's up there with the Odeon fact that I brought you a couple of years ago. Remember that one? The Oliver Deutsch Entertains Our Nation Odeon fact that I still recount to this very day. If you're not aware of it, just look it up. Annabelle.
Oh, you could tell everyone now. I mean,
well, it was just the guy who invented the Odeon was called Oliver Deutsch, and he entertains our nation. That's what Odeon stands for. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Good, yeah.
Whenever you see an Odeon, I always think of it. And now we move on to Londis, from Odeon to Londis, because Annabelle Port, right, who formerly of the Absolute Radio Parish, she's got a great feed on Instagram called The Other British Museum, where she talks about the unsung icons of Britain and the stories behind them. And she has revealed why Londis is called Londis. Here is the history.
In 1959 Britain, small shopkeepers staged an uprising against the recent arrival of these supermarket giants. Corner shops were being decimated by these chains with their greater buying power and lower prices. Mm-hmm. So one man, Douglas Griffin, had a great idea. Possibly inspired by the Dutch company Spar, he set up Londis for shops who wanted independence but also wanted the big name and supply chain. The first was in Richmond, John Leach's Swift Store. Stores became Londis, which stands for London District Stores.
Wow. Wow. Now we know.
You're dropping, eh?
Do you know why that doesn't apply? Do you know why that doesn't speak to me on any level?
Why?
Where I'm from, it's Londys.
Londys. Well, yeah.
I'm going to pop over to Londys.
Londys. Well,
not Londys. Londys.
This is proof that you've been getting it wrong.
I know. London. If I get any more proof of things I've gotten wrong over the years,
if nothing else, it stops people calling it Londys, because a lot of people do call it that, don't they? But it's London District, so you should be saying you're going down to London District stores. Do you want leaf in? That's what we need to start calling it. I say bring back the full name. Then we can all move on. London District stores. What an amazing fact that no one knows.
Love that.
And then two horrendous events have taken place, Dave. World Cup content is bombarding us already on the socials. The PR team at Iceland seem to have upped their game recently. They've gone viral for releasing a half-half England-Scotland shirt. Ooh, so if you're a fan of the Tartan Army and you love the Three Lions and you love a bit of footy, then they come together and you can wear that to a barbecue and impress your friends, can't you?
Or throw it on the barbecue.
Yeah. Yes. Put a picture of it on your group chat. That's what you should do, isn't
so,
it?
Yeah. Obviously, the Hypebeast Womble, your daughter is half English, half Scottish. Would you let her wear the half and half shirt from Iceland?
Absolutely,
100%. No.
But she's got the Scotland strip, hasn't she? Have you got the England kit yet?
Of course.
Oh, he's got both. Okay, fair enough. Of
course. That's patriotic of you, Mark.
That's
how you do it. You buy the England kit and you buy the Scotland kit.
And then you can wear them for each
game.
I
had the England kit and I had the Ireland kit. Yeah, but you don't do half and half. You don't put them
together. No, it's because they've got a store in Berwick-upon-Tweed, lovely border town of Berwick-upon-Tweed.
That's beautiful,
you can support both. The second horrendous event is a 6-7 themed gathering. Dare I call it a flash mob in New York. Producer Ellie spotted this on TikTok. She's so in touch with the youth. She would describe this as being cringe or an ick or wild. Because even I know that the 6-7 trend is dead. It died when Keir Starmer said it at primary school mid last year.
It's not on the page.
6-7. Yeah. 6-7.
It was horrendous.
Yeah,
moment.
I mean, the Prime Minister killed that off about 18 months ago.
Yeah, but
so why is it back?
It seems to still be going, certainly in America. So at 6:07 on Sunday night, which was the 7th of June, the 6th, because they put dates in the wrong order in the States. So the 6th, 6/7/26. So hundreds of people got together in Washington Square Park for a mass 6-7 off.
Don't tell me they did
a countdown and everything.
No, they didn't.
Here it is.
1, 2, 1. They're not doing the arms
thing. They're doing the arms. They're all running around with wacky looks on their faces doing the arms.
Also, that's just a countdown from 10 to 1 followed by 6, 7, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Numerically, it makes no sense. It's confusing, isn't
also,
it?
Also, just judging from that audio, I've not seen it, I've only heard it.
Yeah.
They sound like they're adults.
Yes, they are.
They sound like there's a lot of adults in that piece
and
of audio.
It was a trend for primary school kids, really. You're right, very good point. They all look about over 18, certainly.
Yeah.
And they're all doing the arms. The good news, though, Dave, is 6-7 day here in the UK hasn't happened yet.
Oh, no.
So we have to wait till the 6th of July, which is a Monday.
It's a weekend.
It's a Monday.
Oh, we're on air. I might just try and book a day off.
Good idea.
We're not
going to
do it, are we?
No, well, I don't know. The producers want us to. I don't think anyone else does. So let's take it back to some UK content. Your school disco memories. Sophie James shared this with me on Instagram. It's a guy called Dadman Tom who's done a post-match interview. Post-year 5 school disco. This is lovely. All the memories come flooding.
Okay. Thanks for speaking with us, Tom. Not the result you were after, but year 5 disco, difficult place to come.
Yeah, obviously we knew tonight was going to be a big night. We've put all the work in on the playground for the last few weeks. Kiss Chase has gone well.
Yeah.
My dad dropped me off. He said, you know, give it 110% and leave nothing out on the dance floor, which I think we did.
It looked like you had a bit of a slow start, but managed to push on in the second half.
Yeah, no, obviously, me and the lads, we knew that Steps and Wigfield was not our strong point. So, you know, we stuck to the sides. We watched the girls. We let them, you know, do their thing. Obviously, when Music Man and Superman dropped, we knew that's when we'd come into our own, really. And I think from there, we really kicked on.
Brilliant.
Music Man and Superman. It's amazing. He's got a spot. He's got a sponsor board behind him on the video, which I'll share on Instagram. Mr. Matt Dyson. He's got brands like Brill Cream and Panda Pops in the background. It's beautiful. Gorilla Woman update. Remember the Wakefield...
Wakey's Finest.
Wakey's Finest. Caesar the Gorilla on a plinth outside the upstairs windows of her house in Wakefield. Adele Teal became a viral sensation when she was being taken
like
to
a normal
court.
Terrace house, but with a gorilla.
Yeah, on a plinth, a massive gorilla, about 4 foot tall, called Caesar, which she'd actually had outside her house in Leeds for about 15 years, never had any issues. Mm. Moved to Wakefield, and the council were like, you haven't got planning permission for this. Yeah.
We're relaxed in Leeds. Shakey Wake is a bit, people peering around the corner. What's going on there?
Yeah, he's allowed to say it.
Yeah.
This is my neck of the woods. It's all good. It's all good.
So Adele was complaining about it. She was very upset, and she was facing this massive fine.
Yeah.
And now, sadly, she's had to take it down. Here's Adele herself giving us the full update. Here she is.
What's happened with the gorilla, Adele?
They said that I have to take it down, so my friend took it down for me, and it's moving to London, Mayfair.
To Mayfair?
Mayfair. He's going in a big store down there and keeping him. All I can say to you, right, is just watch this space, yeah?
Oh, intriguing.
Well, Caesar to Harrods, what's happening?
Yeah. What a sellout.
Why would they want to?
He'll be going, how much is a pint down here? Yeah. I can't believe it.
It's going to blow the gorilla's mind. Yeah, so it could be Fortnum and Mason, maybe, is Selfridges in the neck of the woods.
There's a lot of galleries around that
part. What are you going to do? Is a window display?
But do you think Adele saying watch this space is in the plinth is still there?
So watch this
space.
I think she might be saying that, actually. Yeah. So, but I mean, if Caesar is coming to London, I mean, I sense a team outing coming. We've got to go and visit him. We've got to go and pay our respects. Big news from the world of bakery, Dave. Ooh. I mean, I know the World Cup's on the way. World Cup fever started and everything. Yeah. We saw the opening ceremony last night. We saw Poog's new loft apartment. But the big news this week is in bakery, because yeast from an Iceman's 5,000-year-old gut has been used to make sourdough. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. How groundbreaking this is.
You've got some toast in your throat. That's what it sounds like.
It was a guy found in a glacier in the Alps, the Austria-Italy border, back in 1991. You may remember this. He was 5,300 years old. He was a hunter, like a caveman, basically. Oh. And he was mummified naturally in the ice. They called him Otzi, not like DJ Otzi, is it? I'm out on the Otzi. So a team have now been looking into his complex microbial ecosystem, right?
Yeah, I think we know what they've been looking into, Matt.
And in one of the projects, scientists reproduced one of the strains of yeast found in Otzi's gut after keeping it alive for 3 months. They turned it into a starter, a sourdough starter, and then they made sourdough bread out of this caveman.
If he came back to life, he'd be like,
how much sourdough? How much? 8 pounds! 8 pounds sourdough! It's ridiculous! Put me back in the ice!
Yeah, he would be shocked, you're right. And especially when he found out what was in the bile.
Did someone eat it?
Bile from my guts. They don't say whether the scientists ate it. I think they just did it for a fun because they could. But just because you can doesn't mean you should, really. It doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't sound very nice.
It's put me on for breakfast.
Yeah, as a starter, it's a complete non-starter for me, too. Totally. But keeping it bleak, we head back to 1971.
Okay.
Courtesy of the BBC archive feed on Instagram. Well worth
a follow. Is this you getting your GCSEs?
No. And they were GCSEs. They weren't O-levels. But this is 71. This is before even my time, Dave. The TV show Nationwide.
Right,
and they went to Hardwick Primary School in Stockton-on-Tees in the northeast, where the primary school kids were running their own radio station. These are the radio stars of the future.
I love it.
And this was what radio sounded like in 71. Have a listen.
Hello everyone, this is Radio Hardwick. Today is Wednesday
and this is John McCleary with today's news.
It's a tough business running a modern radio station, and here at Hardwick Primary School in Stockton, they're learning it the hard way. Once a week, the pupils write and broadcast their own programs over the school tannoy system. The oldest are 7, the youngest 5, but already they have the stamp of true professionals.
Now I have some more news for you.
Carl Larson in Mrs. Grimm's class helped his dad to dig the garden last night, and she planted some seeds. Janet's brother fell downstairs this morning, and he is now in hospital.
Big news at the end.
I don't know why they ended on the big story.
Yeah, I don't know why
massive. Leave start
on
with that. Yeah,
he's falling downstairs, kid.
If you went to Hardwick Primary in 1971, I would love to hear from you.
Imagine if we find 8, them.
12:15.
Give them their own show on Absolute 8, 12, Radio. 15. Come on,
we bring back Absolute Radio. You, if you were a pupil at Hardwick Primary in 1971, absolutely love that.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show,
Absolute Radio.
Gary in Southport says, Dave, is it weird that I dip my ham sandwiches in my cup of tea because I love a soggy butty and I like the way the butter floats on top of the tea? Yes, Gary. Yes, it most definitely is.
How many
is.
Times?
And tea, yeah.
How many times have I had to tell you from Yorkshire, stop putting things in your tea? yeah. Just stop dipping things in tea.
You're Yorkshire's really finest. Red in the face please. Now. You're
Yorkshire's
really angry
finest. So, is it weird that yesterday I went to a very swanky London hotel to celebrate an occasion and there was an afternoon tea happening?
Yeah.
And there was a pianist and the pianist was playing. You know, when you've been to a swanky afternoon tea and you hear the pianist and you're celebrating your nan's birthday, right, and you get those tiny little sandwiches and you get a little scone. You know the kind of thing
dip
I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah,
dip them in your tea, you know, just exactly like Gary does. Well, I tried to capture this moment, and I want to do a little quiz here, a little on-the-spot quiz. The pianist was playing all of the classics. It right. was Chopin, Chopin, all of those guys. So he was playing all of those things that I know so well, and a little bit of Mozart. Then it changed. Mm. And this is what I recorded. Can you identify? Now, I recorded this on my phone at the table, so it's not the best audio you're going to hear.
Okay.
It's like one of the producers got it.
Oh, big.
what's this, do you think?
Oh.
Do you recognise that?
I know this.
Andrea.
Oh, I know.
No,
Andrea.
Andrea. I don't know.
No, really, I think Rich buzzed in first.
It was Thundercats.
Yes.
It's Thundercats.
The guy the swanky London Hotel afternoon tea with the finger sandwiches and the scones and the cream. Is it weird that he started playing Thundercats?
Yeah,
it doesn't feel as classy now for some reason.
It's definitely Thundercats, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Did he spot you and think, I need to dumb it down the level a little bit? Is that what it was? Too much classical stuff here for the day.
Possibly that was it. I heard it. I just heard him saying chop it. So it might be now is the time.
Let's give him something he knows. To Mozart, he did them all. I mean, he really did Constable. He did the whole gambit. But that is weird, isn't it?
That is very weird. Yeah,
but I enjoyed it.
What a tune!
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit embarrassing when I stood up and gave him a standing ovation.
Is it weird that you claim on air to over 2.5 million people that you've been trotting out a fact everywhere you go for the last couple of years, only for that fact to be wrong, Matt?
Well, only slightly wrong.
Well, who invented the odium then?
I called him Oliver Deutsch.
But is that his name?
It's Oscar. Thank you for all the people that have texted me about
it's Oscar
that.
Deutsch.
Oscar Deutsch.
Thank you.
Entertains our nation.
For putting Matt
I got
right.
the details on the facts slightly wrong. Some other people are saying it might not even be true. And actually, odium may come from the ancient Greek word odium, meaning a place for singing.
Oh, a place for singing, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I was about to say that.
How can we believe anything you tell
everything
us now
about
on the social
facts,
ammo?
Everything about the facts may be false.
I like you're saying it. Rich, basically, Matt, you're a liar, aren't you? You're a liar, you're a filthy liar.
Yeah.
We've lost trust in you.
I don't blame you.
The whole bit, I've lost faith in the whole bit. That was the final ever socialisation.
Oh, no, what a way to bow out.
We were going to do it just after 9, but I don't know if we can anymore. I don't know what to do. So, is it weird that? That's the sentence that we'd like you to complete on your Monday morning. We always do. 8 to 12, 15. What I love about this is we do it every Monday. And so many of you have already got in touch. Like Adam in London says, is it weird that his friend Phil eats packing peanuts? Oh. Now, I had to Google them. There's those little
foam things.
Yeah, the savoury Watsit, as I like to call them.
You should not eat them. I'm pretty sure you should
don't eat those, Phil.
I feel like some are made out of cornstarch now, so they are biodegradable.
Really? Oh, really?
I still don't know whether you should eat them.
Yeah.
That's your award-winning journalist right there. Good. Knowing what packing peanuts is made of. I love that. Is it weird that I use a spoon to peel an orange?
Yeah.
Sounds like the kind of thing like my granddad would do, my Irish granddad.
I use my teeth, though.
You use teeth straight in there?
Yeah, just to start the peel, because otherwise, I catch underneath a nail. Yeah.
I've become I'm so privileged. I've become an easy peeler guy.
Oh, yes.
I just spoil myself,
you
know. No, I don't need a spoon, not
just
with an easy
cheesy peeler.
You use a silver spoon, yeah. Don't you, these days? Yeah.
Straight out of my childhood mouth and into the easy peeler.
A spoon with a kiwi, I think, is more acceptable.
Oh, yeah.
Spoon with a kiwi.
That's the only way you're going to peel a kiwi.
It's a step too far.
The kiwi skin.
Oh, come yeah, on, yeah. That's the new thing, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Do you know that Matt eats the entire apple?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know this yet? Because long-time listeners will know this.
Core and all.
Yeah, when we did Home Time together, like, 9 years ago now?
Yeah, long time.
I watched Matt eat an apple, because it was in the afternoon, obviously, and he ate the whole thing before my very eyes.
In one go, or...?
Yeah, like, whilst we were on air, which is even weird. Yeah, like a horse, yeah.
Just more proof we can't trust Matt.
We can't trust him, Rich. Which is why, in case you've wondered in Studio 2, the Booth of Truth, why Matt eats his breakfast out of the palm of my hand. That's why that happens.
Caroline questions, Dave, is it weird that I drive to work and I count the bin lorries I pass because when they come out of the depot, they remind me of the bank job in Die Hard. So I'm trying to work out if I need to call the police and warn them of an impending robbery. There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot going on.
What a way of starting your day.
Very serious business.
I don't know if I could just let it go, Caroline. Yeah. It is quite weird, but just let it go. Emma Wooding from Wigan says, Dave, is it weird that I eat a Snickers upside down so I can feel the texture of the nutty chocolate on my tongue?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand that. Upside down from
upside
the bottom
down
of
Snickers.
The bar?
Yeah. Turn it round, yeah.
I don't know why. I feel I need to use this.
Like redacted.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Nougat's normally on the bottom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're twisting it round. I mean, I did it with an ice cream Mars bar this very weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, caramel on the tongue. Well, it wasn't that. It was an Aldi fake
redacted
ice cream Mars bar. Titan. I twisted around a
redacted
Titan this very week.
Is he one of the gladiators?
He might be.
Dave, team, is it weird that I put a clean plate in the dishwasher to act as an example and inspire the others?
That's a great idea.
Chris and Crawley. Yeah.
A motivational plate.
Yeah, like, I think it works. Does it inspire
go get them, guys.
The dishwasher to really go for it a bit
Look
more?
Look at me. You could be like this. Yeah. I mean, it's quite a nice
this
idea.
This is best practice. This is how we want it to look, okay? So you can do it.
Welcome along to The Breakfast Show, where the World Cup is getting closer and closer. In fact, it kicks off in just 2 days' time as Mexico, one of the co-hosts, take on South Africa in Mexico City. And of course, of every major football tournament comes one thing, the office sweepstake. But not everyone works in an office. Not everybody works with other people. And if that's you, then you probably don't get the chance to be part of a sweepstake. And that's not fair.
Yes.
And it happens to us every time there's a tournament. Because we work on The Breakfast Show, because we get in early, we get out early, we're always left out of the office sweepstake. And I was determined to change that, which is why we have the World Cup 2026 secret sweepstake. I'll give you a team, but you will not know who you've got until you are out. And when we get to the business end of the tournament, I'll even give you the chance to swap your team with another listener to see who is going to be crowned champion.
That's when it really gets exciting.
Oh, I love that stuff. I'll take all 48 teams and randomly assign them to you. And this year, because there's 48 teams up from 32, we want you to get involved and we're going to get involved too. So if you would like a team randomly assigned to you, you won't know who they are. You'll find out maybe when your team wins the World Cup, but you'll certainly find out when you're out. All you need to do is text your name, where you're from, maybe a flavour of what you do for a living to 81215. So that is 81215, your name, where you're from, a flavour of what you do for a living. Now, we're shaking it up a bit this year because myself, you, Matt, you, Andrea, and you, Rich, we're all going to get a team as well. Oh, we won't know who we've got. So bear with me a second.
There are so many teams that
There's
we have.
So many.
We have to have one.
No. Oh, well, great. I get a number.
Okay, Dyson's.
What an honour. I'm not allowed to react or say what it is.
You can't say your number at all.
I don't think so. No.
Dave's on his way into the Booth of Truth.
Oh, no.
Hello.
I've got to
choose a number.
Okay, thank you.
There we go, Rich.
Thank you.
Grab a number.
A little rustle around.
I haven't opened it yet.
There you go. Yep, got one.
I've opened it. I know
you opened it.
But we're not going to know who this is.
So it's
sort of, yeah, it's just a mystery what team we have.
Getting his steps in.
I know. It's a lot of off mic from Dave today.
Everyone's got their number?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't know what teams they are.
We do not.
Only the Hypebeast Womble knows. And I have got...
I've got 21.
Okay.
What have you got, Matt?
The door.
I've got 43.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
I don't know. I've got bingo for that. I've got seven.
Seven,
don't
okay.
Bingo for that. Don't
it feels like it might be good.
Rich?
I've got these. Must be the favourites. 30.
30.
Yeah, it must be the favourite for the tournament.
So only the Hypebeast Womble executive producer Mark knows which teams these numbers represent. And even though he's looking at me slightly concerned right now, we're going to give him a grilling. Before we go any further and grill the Hypebeast, as we will be giving the listeners the opportunity to do this further down the line into the tournament, does anybody want to swap with me?
Ooh.
I have no idea who I've got. I don't have any clue. Mm. Neither do you. Does anyone want to swap?
No. I think I'm going to stick with what I've got.
Yeah, I'm hoping seven's going to be good. Oh,
thank you so much for all your efforts in making entertaining radio with me.
Do you want to swap, Dave? Do you want to swap?
Now he's getting it. Rich, are we going to swap?
No, I'd like to keep me out. That's awesome.
Okay, we're keeping what we've got. So, Mark, my first question to you, and please don't give anything away in the spirit of it all. You are the gatekeeper. You are the key master. You're Rick Moranis and Sigourney Weaver, all in one package. 7, 21, 30 and 43, which one of the Breakfast Show team has the best chance of lifting the World Cup?
Andrea Fox.
Oh, really?
Andrea Fox.
Wow.
So are we still doing the swap? Or,
yeah.
Or is that over?
Okay, so Andrea does with number 7. Who do you think, statistically speaking, is least likely to lift the World Cup?
The man that should have swapped, Rich Williams.
Rich, number 30, least likely. Okay, so that means kind of in the middle is Matt and I. Do you think who's got a stronger chance of winning the World Cup out of Matt's team and my team?
It's very interesting, the two teams that you guys have picked.
Really? Half and half England-Scotland shirt.
Not a chance. They are very, very closely matched. A little bit of statistical information for you.
Ooh.
Dave, your team have reached the quarterfinals twice.
Oh,
wow.
Matt, your team have finished third once and reached the quarterfinals once in the World Cup.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow, interesting stuff.
Big information.
Now, there was a sliding doors moment. As we were picking the numbers out and we were live on air and I decided, I don't know why, because I'm a buffoon, to go through to the next studio and do all that kind of stuff. I was spinning plates.
Yeah.
I accidentally picked out two numbers. And as we were live on air, I thought I'll just drop one back in, you know, as I say, in the spirit of things. Now, I kept 21, I dropped 11 back into the pot. So one of our listeners is going to be getting 11. Mm. Is 11 better than 21?
Now, the listeners will not know what team 11 is, and we won't tell the listeners the number as well. We'll just tell them they've got a team.
Yeah.
I can tell you that number 11
yeah.
have won the World Cup twice.
Oh, oh no! Oh, I can't believe it. So, two-time winners still up for grabs. Will number 11 be yours? At this stage, I can say congratulations to Lindsay from Luton, who works on the Luton Dart. You are in the secret sweepstake. You've been given number 39.
Ooh.
Graham, the boiler engineer from Reigate, you're in, my friend, with number 32.
Good luck.
Good
Graham.
Positive little nod there from the Hypebeast Womble. And finally, Ed, who makes latex clothes for a living.
Oh.
You're in. You're in the secret sweepstake, and I'll see you for our 2 o'clock. He's got number 24.
Oh,
that's
yes.
who Ed has got in the secret sweepstake. As I say, we are going to assign so many of you with your numbers. We'll let you know that you're in due course. We're going to find out who will win the secret sweepstake. I was doing some reading and spelling with my daughter, who's 7 years old, last night. And we were looking at words that have got the letter Z in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there's a word that you can definitely spell which has got two Zs in it. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's the word buzz. And she went, oh, yes, B-U-Z-Z. And I said, oh, hang on a second, hang on now, come on. What's going on with the Z? And she said, oh, I'm sorry, Daddy. I say it like that because I've got an American accent.
Oh, wow.
So is it weird that my daughter thinks she's got an American accent?
Where's that come from?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's probably got something to do with YouTube.
Yes, it probably is. YouTube is to blame. And the Americanisms are creeping in all the time. There's a bunch of them. Every day we hear a bunch of them. It's a bunch of bananas only. Come on. But Z does rhyme better in the alphabet song. You know, the A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J. Z works better with that, but it's the only time I'll allow it.
Yeah. I wondered how far you were willing to go into the alphabet song before you stopped there. He got to G and he let us off the hook.
We've got time.
It's the opener of the show. We've got nothing else to talk about. None of us have had a coffee yet. So now she started to say, like, because I've got an American accent, can I call it candy instead of sweet teas?
I'm like,
you haven't got an American accent.
Yes. The ice cream truck is one that really does. It's a van!
As she looks at me wide-eyed going, I'm only seven! Stop yelling at me!
Gee, lay off.
Hey, Dad, what's your problem, pups? What's going on?
I'm walking here!
Hey, go get your newspaper! Get it here! Get it right here! Or your 1920s Manhattan street urchin all of a sudden. Are you an adult listening to this right now who has used kids' stuff? 8, 12, 15. This coming weekend, I am going on a daddy-daughter camping trip.
Yes. Exciting.
We're all very excited about, but I've got to keep the packing to a minimum because my new daddy friend Tom is going to be doing the driving,
right.
And I don't want to kind of put too much stuff in his car. Nice, you have to show respect. There are boundaries here, people. So I'm trying to kind of slim it down as much as I can, and this includes me having to use Evie's toothpaste for the weekend. And it's that bubble
gum.
That's
the worst.
You know when your teeth aren't clean? They're not clean after you use that. Because it's a bubble gum flavour toothpaste.
I've done it as a last resort when we've run out and you've had to use the red fruity type
one. The red, no one wants that.
It's like it work like proper grown-up toothpaste.
But I'm going to have to use it. I mean, I could go and try and get one of those little tiny tubes from somewhere, but I don't think I've got the time.
There's no brushing going on, they're just eating it.
Straight down. So I'm going to be using Evie's toothpaste, and I thought, so this would be an interesting thing to ask you about out there, because we can't make this show without you at 8, 12, 15. When have you used kids' stuff, whether it's your own kids, whether it's someone else's kids, whether it's your nieces, your nephews, your grandkids, whoever it may be, there's a kid in your life and you've had to use their stuff. Now, I thought using Evie's toothpaste on the daddy-daughter camping weekend would be kind of the limit that we would reach here in the studio. But once again, I've been wowed, shocked, and awed by my co-host and friend Matt Dyson, because he decided to lift from the floor what he's been, and I can't believe I hadn't noticed, what he's been bringing to work for the last...
My rucksack.
That's your son's rucksack, isn't
it? Yeah, he actually had it when he was five. I mean, it's way too big for him. Clearly it was. But when I tried it on, I thought, actually, you know what, this fits. And it's
what's on it.
Yeah, describe the pattern.
Well, the
Paw Patrol.
The pattern is just space. It's like a Milky Way scene. And look, you're never too old to love space. So there it is.
It's quite pink and purple space, though.
It is.
It's quite childlike space.
It's very
childlike
space, but I know, I like space. Why can't I have space in my rucksack?
There are three people who now have that rucksack.
Yeah.
Five-year-olds.
Yeah.
Students from Brighton.
Yeah.
And you.
I'm happy with that. Because it's such good condition, I couldn't bring myself to throw it away.
No, I mean, I could give it to a charity shop.
I need a rucksack to bring stuff into work. I might as well use it.
So this rucksack is not the first time it's starred on the show, because this rucksack was left on a train.
It was. Well, that's it. I've been through so much with this rucksack.
Oh, your boomerang rucksack. Yeah.
What I'm wondering now is what kind of other five-year-old things are in the rucksack that you've got?
Yeah.
It's got all those separate banana cases.
You've got a pencil case.
I actually found some goggles in there and a swimming hat. So, there's all stuff tucked away. But, we've been through so much, me and this space rucksack. So I thought, I'm just going to keep it. I'm going to use it.
Well, you look adorable.
Thank you.
You look adorable. Now, as many of you will be aware, I wrote a book about the dangers of artificial intelligence called The Last Song on Earth. But I do also believe that AI can be used for good, which is why I would like to draw your attention, colleagues, to the Breakfast Show WhatsApp group, where I have been working diligently during the last couple of songs, and I've created an image.
Look at that. No. And my rucksack.
That's Matt in short trousers, dressed as a schoolboy. A public schoolboy as well. A public schoolboy.
Smart uniform.
Laser and a cap.
It's really quite Jeanette Cranky, isn't it?
It's giving Cranky vibes.
You can remember her.
It's giving Cranky vibes. So, Matt, would you please, because this is your punishment, you've got to share this on your socials.
Oh, great.
Mr. Matt Dyson.
Yeah.
We go and check it out now. You'll be able to see it. Matt, as a schoolboy, only fitting given his choice of rucksack this morning.
It's a cool rucksack.
It's a cool rucksack.
I can't work out if it's Cranky or Angus Young from AC/DC. Either way, neither particularly
and
cool.
Those people have so much in common.
Yeah.
And joining us right now, we have Trucker Carl. Good morning, Trucker Carl.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Morning.
Hi, Carl.
Carl, it is great having you on the show. Carl is currently trucking along. Mm. He's got a time-sensitive load.
Yeah.
What are you carrying, Carl?
dangerous chemicals.
Dangerous chemicals. Wow. We're currently crossing live to somebody carrying a truckload of dangerous chemicals. But that's not the only thing you're carrying in your truck, is it, Carl? Tell everybody else what you've got in there.
I've got a kid. Dinosaur
duvet cover.
How
adorable.
Yeah, Trucker Carl, who is 45 years old, you won't mind me saying, and the reason you've got this is...
It was on sale.
Yeah, I like it,
needing
Carl.
A new duvet cover for the back of the truck?
Yeah, yeah.
It's on sale. What kind? How kidsy are the dinosaurs? Are we talking toddler dinosaurs here, or are we talking Jurassic Park print?
Well, toddlers, and it's got like little captions saying
"Rawsome"
and "Dynamite."
Carl, you're clearly doing very important work right now. We're going to let you go. I'm grateful for your time. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Cheers, Carl. Thanks for being rawsome, man. Take care of yourself. Lovely. And we've got another trucker. I can't believe we have another trucker already. Having just spoken to Carl, this time we've got Mark, the little trucker in North Wales. He says, morning, Dave. Morning, team. I have a big biker beard. I've had this since 2014, around the same time my daughter stopped using a penguin-shaped detangler for her little hair. I still use this brush for my beard. In fact, I have one in my gym bag, one in my work bag, and one on my motorcycle.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
They're so good, those detanglers, aren't they? We're keeping on. This is like me in the rucksack, though. If it's still good, if it's still usable, you must keep it.
Yeah, it's a good point, I suppose. Bev in Manchester has done something that I think many of us have done, because she cut her finger. There were no plasters, so she used a Mr. Bump plaster.
Oh,
it had to be.
Yeah.
It had to be a Mr. Bump plaster. Will says, hey, guys, I use my daughter's Peppa Pig cool bag to take a treat for me and my mate after a hard day's plastering in last year's heat wave. That's from Will the Plasterer. I like it. Basically, using artificial intelligence, I created a picture of Matt as a public schoolboy, which you can see on his Instagram at Mr. Matt Dyson. Young producer Matt was shook to his core when Matt decided to put it on his grid, not just his stories.
Yeah.
It's gone on the grid, everyone.
It was a big move.
Might delete later, but we'll see how it goes.
It doesn't look cute. It looks disturbing, if anything. But look disturbing, might delete later. Dave, every day I use a Super Mario lunchbox featuring a garish image of Toad and Mario on the outside. It once belonged to my son, who's now an adult. I'm 53 and command a large unit in the armed forces.
Stop.
What an end to a message.
What, jam sandwiches with no crust for him as well?
James in Milton Keynes says, I'm listening to the show that you're doing right now on a digital radio shaped like a penguin wearing a rubber floaty ring.
Delightful.
Designed for kids, appreciated by adults.
That's it. If it still works, keep it going. It's not just for childhood.
I love this, you know, because what I love about this show is we can't make it without you out there. You know, I say that frequently, and sometimes you just let it all hang out, and I love it, because this starts with, my head is so small. My head is so small, I can wear my son's Pokemon hat when he decides he doesn't want to wear it. He's 4, I'm 42. Thank you ever so much for sharing those with the group. You're using kid stuff, aren't you? Do you have an unusual trust issue? Sure you do. So many of you do, which is why we are compiling the definitive list of the UK's unusual trust issues. So far, with your help, we have jotted down people who constantly smile, people who arrive at work with wet hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People who are the first on their street to put out their bin. I don't trust people who like marzipan, said one listener.
Yeah, yeah.
People who don't move their arms when they walk, men with blonde hair. People who can open their eyes underwater without goggles. People who purchase sandwiches or wraps from small franchise petrol stations. Of course. And of course, all together now, people with tiny mouths. So, what can we add to that list? 8, 12, 15. That is 8, 12, 15. Get in touch right now. Craig in Billericay already has. And he says, I don't trust people who have an extra shirt button open.
Oh, yeah. Going right down to show off the chest hair, generally, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Down to the navel.
I'm with Craig. Yeah, it's too much.
Should we put it on the list?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, definitely. Craig, well done. You've made the UK's unusual trust issues list. Bravo for you, sir. Have a lovely weekend. And as I say, keep them coming to 8, 12, 15. Danny in Beckenham does not trust adults who ride scooters to work.
Oh, yes. Yeah, hard, children's hard scooters agree. As well, specifically.
You hard agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone looks silly on a scooter if you're over the age of 8.
I did get an electric Lime scooter this morning, but I feel like they're not quite as embarrassing as a push-along.
It's purchasing your own, I think.
Yeah,
and it's the ones where you see an adult, usually male, who's kind of tricked it out with fat tyres and stuff like that.
It's
a bit, yeah. Lee from Hemel Hempstead. Hi, Breakfast Team. I don't trust people who say the word and call everybody buddy.
It's
a big swing
for me.
You don't
hear that as often these days, do you? No. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Okay, yeah, so adults on scooters, people who say buddy, they are being added to the list of unusual trust issues. And this one from Cocker in Leeds.
Oh, yeah.
It's niche.
It is very detailed.
It's detailed. It's niche. I don't know if we can put it on the list just for the length of it. Brevity is key, Cocker.
Yeah.
So, Dave, I don't trust anybody who slowly takes a mouthful from a pint of lager and at the exact same time looks left and holds the eye position for a few seconds, then slowly looks right and holds the look again. When they have finished drinking, you realise they haven't even had a sip from their pint.
What the hell?
Who are you doing this?
I don't think I've ever seen
this. Why?
It kind of sounds untrustworthy. It sounds shifty.
Yeah, it does.
But aren't they trying to hold eye contact with the person they're with? Is that what they're doing or not?
Oh, that's a bit weird. Eye contact when drinking?
Yeah, well...
I don't know.
Don't do that.
I'm just trying to recreate with my pint of water. And I've never experienced this,
Cocker. Let me try it with my little sippet of water.
So you're not left.
So I'm going to look. Do I left first?
Look left for a couple of seconds and then look right. And then never have a sip.
I didn't have a sip.
You looked quite coquettish.
Should we put it on the list? I'm not trying to seduce you.
You did look untrustworthy. Cocker's onto something. Yeah.
Okay, wow. Cocker, we're going to put a slightly shorter version of that on the list. Well done, mate. I don't trust men who do a stand-up wee-wee in a toilet cubicle without locking the door behind them, from Stephen Kent.
Yeah. Why are you leaving it open?
Why are you leaving it open? Is it like a power move?
I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. An unusual power move.
We just don't need to see it.
There's a door there for a reason.
Yeah. I don't trust people who wear white trousers. That is a level of confidence that is bordering on ostentatious, says Anna in Inverness. I'm a fan of the white trouser.
I don't mind a white trouser.
Yeah, and a white trouser every now and again as well. Do you remember I once wore them to the Isle of Wight Festival?
Yes, you did. Oh,
yeah, it was a big thing, wasn't it?
It was a big statement, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Kasabian said I wasn't allowed to wear them because I wasn't a rock star.
Yeah, it was very, very Johnny Burrell.
That was me, wasn't it? Now, Sue from Burgess Hill says, Dave, I don't trust people who use your name frequently in conversation with you. That's from Sue in Burgess Hill. So Sue in Burgess Hill was messaged in that. So Sue, as I say, has said, I don't trust people who use your name frequently in conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sue.
Yeah.
That's great, Sue.
Nick Clegg used to do that a lot on Question Time, didn't he? He made a point of remembering the name of the person and keep repeating
it. But it worked, didn't it?
It did work.
It's a political move that changed the political landscape of this country forever.
Yes, true.
Dave, I don't trust people who use the plastic gloves at petrol stations when filling their vehicles. I mean, where do you stand on that one, Matt?
I've done it sometimes. It's a bit extra, really, because you don't want your hands to smell of petrol, so it makes sense.
But I just don't like the baggy, flappy finger bits at the end.
Yeah, I know,
Makes me feel like I'm in the audience of Gladiators, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's never really worth it, and you look weird,
Martin in Reading says he doesn't trust anyone who says fingers crossed and have their fingers crossed on both hands at the same time. Shifty and definitely hiding something, concludes Martin.
It's too much finger crossing.
It's too much saying it and having it. Yeah. Keeping it finger-based, Andy from Swaddlecott, I don't know if I said that incorrectly, doesn't trust men with more than one ring on their hands.
Yes.
Don't trust men with more than one ring.
Yeah, we've had thumb rings, haven't we, already? Yeah.
Yeah. Thumb ring is a big no, but people don't like pinky rings either, do they?
No, they don't, no. Yeah, but Andy from Swaddlecott's onto something, I think.
Swaddlecott, I don't think you're saying it wrong there, Matt. Morning. Morning, guys. I don't trust or particularly like men who call you pal.
Oh,
it feels like an underlying threat.
Yeah. We're adding that to Buddy as well, pal.
We got pal and Buddy.
Buddy's just unusual, but pal does. Thanks, pal. It's always aggressive. Yeah. It's quite aggressive, isn't it? It's hard to say pal without being aggressive.
So we've now got Buddy and pal. Also, we have people with tiny mouths. And thanks to Simon in Boreham Wood, I don't trust people with huge train tunnel mouths. Our audience are like the Goldilocks of mouths. It's just to be the right size for them to trust you.
Yes, it's got to be just right. Otherwise, you're not going to get trusted by anyone.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.